there. You're watching The Program for Ted with Ted Rall and Jamarl Thomas. It is Monday, July 6, 2026. Not the regular show. This is the Q&A show, which we do Mondays and Wednesdays at 12 noon only. The regular show is 9 a.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Jamarl, long time no see. Nice to see you again.
What's going on, man?
Not much. So just reminding everyone what's going on. This is the Q&A show, which means you can ask us anything. Just come on to the live chat if you're watching live on Rumble or YouTube and ask us anything. Rumble chats are paid. Regular Rumble comments are not. Super chats are paid. Regular chats are not on YouTube. We put them all up. We will get to the paid ones first, but we try to get to all of them. And we really appreciate your support. I mean, one of the big reasons we do this, besides connecting, it's both to connect with you guys and also in order to try to raise a little extra money for the show. So that's about it. I'm trying to think if I need to see if we have an ad. Doesn't look like we do. Producer Robbie Thomas, there he is right there. He will put your questions up into the chat for JT and I to look at and consider. Anything I need to remember? Muted. You're muted, Robbie.
Who is Robbie Thomas? You're Robbie Thomas.
Robbie, yeah, I was wondering it myself.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well,
is that a singer?
I'm Bidening out here.
Please don't Biden out.
No, I don't want to. But it could happen, you know. I mean, it's in the family. All right. So let's okay. Well, we do have an ad, which I should. It's been a while, so I should probably do it, right?
Yeah, go ahead and do it.
Do we have a requirement to how many ads we're supposed to do or not?
Nope, we do not. Really, right now, Rumble's requirements are watch hours, which watch hours of this show is not a problem. The unique chatters, which is
bad.
Yeah, but we got that put to bed for this show. It's the other shows that I need help with that. And then shorts and other things on the back end that I take care of. So, we are good to go.
All right, I'm going to skip that out. All right, here we go. Here's our first question, JT. From Matina, my question is it only me or does everyone want majestic USA-themed music when they watch fireworks and not rock and roll like Journey, etc.?
Wait, say that again.
Let me phrase this sort of. I'm going to change the phrasing to make it more clear. Okay. When you watch fireworks, do you prefer to see rock and roll like Journey, or do you want to hear majestic American patriotic music like da 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 da?
Oh, I see. I got to be honest, I didn't think one way or the other about listening to music while watching fireworks. I'm usually just hearing the thump, you know, the booms and everything. I guess it depends on how you listen to fireworks, right? I don't know. I guess I don't know if I have a choice. I mean, probably rock if I'm going to listen to anything. I don't know about Journey, but maybe somebody else. I don't know. That's a weird one. I never thought about it. Robbie, how about you?
Charlie Daniels is who I like to listen to with
the fireworks.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Especially like, on the night of the 4th, like, we were listening, we're watching the fireworks and stuff. And, Thomas, who's out with his friends, just wanting, you know, setting off the world, just setting the world on fire. And
the Thomas thing.
Yeah. So then I just pulled up, Still in Saigon by Charlie Daniels. Cause well, this is more appropriate. And I was thinking of you, Ted, because you talked about, you know, the story that you had about how fireworks just were never the same after you were in that mortar attack there in Afghanistan. And I can only imagine what it's like for people who have actually been through those experiences. Like, my dad, he was a Korean War veteran. Never go shooting and stuff. He did fireworks sometimes. But for the most part, though, you know, he stayed away from it just because it just brought back memories.
Yeah, I mean, the firing range can be like that, too, especially if something big is being shot, like an AR or something. It's funny, some lady, NPR war correspondent, was catching shit over the weekend complaining about, like, the, all the flyovers in D.C. and were freaking her out. And she was a war correspondent also. And I'm, like, thinking, I get that, you know, I totally get that. It fades, at least for me, it faded after a while. But music, I got to say, I'm like, Jamal, I'm like you. I kind of like don't really need music to go with my fireworks. I mean, when I've seen fireworks displays normally, there's been no music. They've just been from far away, like either fired off the Brooklyn Bridge when they're not trying to burn it down, or in the East River, or like in my hometown in Ohio, and they didn't bother with music. It's kind of like it's its own thing. So, but I guess you'd have to. I guess if it needed to be music, I guess I'd kind of want traditional American patriotic music.
On the 4th of July. On the 4th of July, you know, every year, you know, my church, so they have what they call a freedom service. We get together at a park. I'll send you some pictures. It's just really pretty, and so it's a very patriotic themed service. And of course, then you have a sermon after. But you know, the lead up to it is all this patriotic music, and of course, me being the only Southerner here, when they start playing the Battle Hymn of the Republic, I'm like, no, you bastards! It's just like, this is such an insult. There's so many other songs y'all can sing that y'all can play besides this one.
But it's one of the better ones, though. I mean, American patriotic music is a little weak. We have like one of the really shitty national anthems. Our national anthem blows compared to other countries. So Battle Hymn of the Republic is definitely one of the better songs.
May John Brown's body be eaten by worms. That's all I got to say.
What?
What?
No, that's the theme, that's the melody of the Battle Hymn of the Republic is John Brown's body. Now, that's what the music's written to.
That is.
John Brown deserves a massive statue.
Yeah. John Brown was a butcher.
Yes, he was.
I mean, there's a right way and a wrong way of doing things. And that's a good example of
I like his style.
John Brown was created by the system to which he was involved in.
I get it. And to Ted's point.
And a devout Christian, I would have thought you'd be a fan.
Devout Christians, as a rule, don't go around murdering people and their families, chopping them up and throwing them into hog pens. So that's typically not something that you do unless you're an Israeli.
All right.
Radically different contexts.
If you're just joining us, this is the Q&A episode where anything can and will happen. Mondays and Wednesdays, 12 noon. Got a question? Pipe it into the chat, and we will ask and we will answer it and debate it.
I think it's wild to me that they're going to call it a freedom service. And we're not picking on you, Robbie. It's just we use the term so much, and I think it's so out of whack.
Well, it's because
like,
people.
It's kind of like James Baldwin. James Baldwin, I think he made a point of saying when he hits words like peace and democracy, he's like, I don't know what those things mean. And I think I feel that way with the freedom stuff. I don't think people.
The freedom to not be able to see a doctor if you don't have enough money.
I mean, you got to think about this. Like, the people at my church, they think I'm a lefty.
By the way, I'm not picking on you and your church. They use that term a lot. Freedom fries.
Freedom.
I mean, you got to remember, right? So, I mean, this is small town America, apple pie. And so it's very Republican, very Trumpian, and they don't realize all they're doing is trading one form of tyranny over for another. Wrapped in the veneer of freedom. Like, now, I have the freedom to accept whatever choice it is that the system gives me without ever thinking of taking the next step, say, why is it that no matter who we vote for, we always get John McCain.
Yeah.
That's
three people here, all of whom were fucking fired by the federal government from their media jobs because of government censorship.
Well, by the way, have you seen the ruling in the European court where if you share RT, you could be prosecuted for sharing RT? Doesn't matter if it's true or false. Doesn't matter if it's propaganda or not.
On social
media. On social media, you can be arrested and prosecuted. And if I'm not mistaken, there are three German nationals that are being prosecuted for. That's fucking outrageous. outrageous.
It's not the US, but yeah, these are countries that are supposedly share the same values. And in a way, they do share the same values.
Yeah.
It is fucking outrageous. If Joe Biden could have done that, they would have done it. Let's be very clear. And if Trump could have done it with the Israel thing, they would have done it. They would have done it in a heartbeat.
I mean, you got to think about this. It's just like, I bet you where y'all live, you probably get the blue shade of the same thing. So here, you know, you get together, you have your American flags, you wrap yourself in the veneer of patriotism about supporting the country, despite the fact that the president who they support violated the Constitution by going to war without congressional approval. Who does, if Joe Biden was violated doing
again by ignoring, by blowing off a war powers resolution.
Well, the war powers resolution is unconstitutional by, you know, by default. I mean, it shouldn't even be there. The executive does not get to declare war ever. I mean, that's stone cold in the Constitution. And I guess that's just the point, is that if you're on the left, you're going to have these lefty pep rallies, you know, maybe under a rainbow flag or whatever, you know, wrapped up in the veneer of tolerance and acceptance. Whereas if you're on a Trumpian place, it's going to be like, we get, you know, instead of using the rainbow flag, then use the American flag. And neither side understands that you're captured by the same people. And no one ever is able to think that far ahead. And that's the most infuriating thing about it, because I'm the only person in my church that's not a Zionist. It's a very lonely place to be.
Who are you telling? I mean, I think the issue is, like, the boundaries of debate are set by the two political sides with their media wings. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know any better, and you're just growing up in the country that way, that's the way you just see the world. Like, you're a fish in water. Like, the fact that it's a capitalist system doesn't really sink into you from our point of view. Because from our point of view, we hold that this is just where it is. Like, this is just reality, not an overlay on reality. It's very heady when you think about it. It's a level of indoctrination that's extensive. And it takes a while to break out of. I mean, like, it's as you grow up, you notice anomalies. That's when you're like, whoa, why is this this way? Why do we accept this? This seems strange. It's kind of a gateway out of it, but a lot of people don't find that door.
Thinking is hard. And especially, you know, if whenever you're thinking, I know that both of you already know this. Y'all made this decision before I did. Looking at your tribe, realizing that your tribe is wrong, like the people who your tribe is following is wrong, and you point that out, then you get ostracized as, you know, what are you, a righty? What are you, a traitor? Do you not love your country?
You love Donald Trump.
No, you play for the other side.
You want to win.
It's a lonely place to be. That's what I'm saying. Like, I told my pastor this. I said, I feel more comfortable with two people to my left than I do in a room with people who are supposedly my allies.
Wow.
Who willingly enslave themselves.
Well, I feel that way
to an ideology.
I feel that way about you, Robbie, and a lot of other of my conservative friends like Scott. Because, I mean, you guys have integrity and you have beliefs. You know, as opposed to a tribe, and they're not the same. You know, I mean, you're either, it's kind of like, are you a Democrat or are you a liberal? They're not the same. Are you a conservative or are you a Republican? They're not the same. Let's do some more of these. Okay. Matina V, reference DC versus Nashville. Houston did a great job with their symphony. I don't know.
That's a follow-up to the question about fireworks and music.
Yeah. I don't know who DC was. Okay. In all seriousness, John Brown was just seeing the future, man. You want to call that schizophrenia? Go ahead, says Leva Bernie. Leva Bernie, thanks for the $5. Robbie, thanks for spreading the good word to your church, man. We need more anti-Z people on the right.
Yes. Anti-Z people everywhere. No, we can agree to disagree on things like abortion, gun control, stuff like that. But we got to unite on the people against the people who are screwing everybody equally.
Yeah.
True. Robbie, this is for you. Walker say, why would you even go to that church then? Couldn't you just have a Bible study for yourself?
But the thing is, there's no perfect church. If there was one, as soon as I went there, it would no longer be perfect because I'm a flawed guy. And people, I guess here's how I would put this. You're never going to find a organization or a group of people that ever accepts things exactly the way that you do. And if you do that, then you're in a cult. That's the problem. And so I would rather go and be able to worship Noah, Jesus, and be able to do Bible studies. And keep in mind, they're dispensationalists. I'm not. I mean, it is your stereotypical fundamentalist Baptist church. And you are not going to find really anywhere a Baptist or at least a Protestant church that's not dispensationalist and goes around talking about how the Jews are God's chosen people and all this other stuff. And they, especially if you're in a small town, patriotism is baked in. That's just part of it. And so I accept the Bible's reading stuff of it. The rest of it, I realize what it is and I ignore it. And more to the point, I'll debate the pastor and the deacons and try and change their minds.
Okay. All right. Okay. let's see what else we got. Okay. So, did you hear the 00 Pollux 00? Hey, did you guys hear the story of Nolan Wells and how weird he's missing? And they say his friends has his phone, but don't know where he is.
Who's Nolan Wells? Is this one of the scientists that went missing or something?
Oh, okay.
I know the context.
Yeah. What do you think about the missing scientists? Is that a real story or is that
Jim? No, that's a real story. Oh, no, that's a real story. That's a real story. I've heard hardcore scientists talking about this story. In fact, what is this? Breen Hassenfelder. I didn't entirely pay the story much mind because I thought, okay, this is being overblown. But again, I didn't pay it much mind, so I didn't know one way or the other. And then she hits that story, and she breaks it down in a way where she's averaging out, like, what is the number of scientists in a particular country, and in the context of that number of scientists, how many have gone lost, and then comparing it to the norm in societies and those type of things. And her thing was like, this is weird. Like, just looking at the math of the number of people that we have, and the number of people that went missing over the course of, let's say, a year or two. It was strange. And the way some of the people were going missing was very bizarre. Like, it was one case in the, I think they were like in the mountains or something, or walking on a trail. One person is ahead by, I don't know, a few, maybe 10 feet, 15 feet. The other person just goes missing. And they went back looking for it. They can't find her body. They can't find anything. The person just went missing, like out the blue. And it was a few of these. Some of the people were being killed. Some of the people were being killed in their home or getting shot outside, almost like a mob hit. It's very weird. So I don't know if Wells is one of the people that have gone missing, but I'm not sure. And many of these people are like scientists who, one guy I think was in the CIA, another one. These are people who were like on the inside of government. So I don't know. It's very strange.
So this, you know what it reminds me of is, do you remember I'm sure you've seen it, the sci-fi miniseries V from the 80s?
Yeah. They did a remake of that.
Yeah, the remake is frustrating because the production value is better, but the writing's not as good.
Yeah. I give it.
And anyway, the thing is, in that one, which is basically, it's not giving too much away to say, aliens invade the Earth and they are beneath their skin, not what they seem, right?
They don't really invade. They're welcome.
They show up, but it turns out they are not really human and they have an agenda that is
lizard people.
Hilariously terrifying. Anyway, so in V, scientists start to disappear because, right. And it's kind of like, why? Because scientists might figure out the truth. Right. And so I don't know. It's just like, I'm wondering, that's just what it reminds me of. I'm not really wondering.
By the way, in Three Body, same thing. Scientists start offing themselves a disappearing.
Really?
Yeah. Because, and I don't want to, God, man, don't get me talking about that book. You would have me here for like 2 hours. It is so good. It is beyond good. But part of the thing in the very beginning of the book, that's the mystery. Why are scientists disappearing? Why are scientists committing suicide? Why is, you know, it's those type of things. And a hold up in fundamental research. It starts that way.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Oh, Frank Friel says, mammals can't have kids with lizards. Well, in V they can.
Wait a minute. Did they have kids?
Yeah, remember remember that the young woman who is the girl, the daughter of a reluctant member of the resistance, gets seduced by like the head of the Hitler Youth.
But she was sexy though.
And so, yeah, and she's like, he's Foxy, which really dates this show a lot.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they get together and then she gets pregnant and then it's like, oh, what's going to happen? What's it going to be? And it turns out, should I give it? Yeah, I mean, he's not giving it away. It's not a spoiler.
Well,
half a century later. And basically there's two kids. There's a human baby and a lizard baby. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. See, I don't remember the pregnancy. And I remember the new one.
It's such a soap opera.
Yeah.
I want to see this. Yeah. I remember it was on TV back in the day when I was a kid. Right. I only got to watch a couple of episodes of it, never got to see the whole thing. And I remember this evil blonde chick who looked kind of like Ursula von der Leyen with long hair. So I remember her.
It's the brunette who's really evil.
Was it the brunette? I thought it was the blonde. Because wasn't it some of the lizards? Some of the lizards, if I remember right, like they were sympathetic to the humans, didn't want to go full genocide.
Yeah, right. they're the fifth column.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder where I could find these episodes and watch them.
It
depends on which one you were looking for. If the one in 2000s, that was what, Sci-Fi Channel?
Yes. Yeah. I still have it on DVD.
Do you?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were a big sci-fi fan, Ted.
I am a big sci-fi fan. Yeah.
Good to know. You would love Three Body, by the way. Oh, you would love that book.
Stargate SG-1 is my favorite sci-fi.
Right here, Robbie. I'm there with you. It's not my favorite, awesome. But it's up there. Oh, it is up there. Because it's... I am... enamored by the concept of God. Yeah. I'm just a sucker for it. Something goes off in my head. And the idea that the Ori is effectively forcing people to worship them, worship or die. And obviously the people who believe in it think that's okay because God is God. God sets his own context. He doesn't have to be right. He doesn't have to be good. He's God. Neo. Right? And the Ori is the most honest version of that. Oh, I thought it was so good.
Because I never watched the last two seasons, like 9 and 10, I never watched them.
Oh, you have to watch the last two seasons.
So I just went through like the originals, and then when Richard Dean Anderson when he retired,
Jack O'Neill,
the Empire they're fighting just fell apart and stuff, and then you had the replicators, which is probably the gayest of all plot lines like ever. I wasn't a fan of the replicators.
I don't know, man. Sam was sexy as shit as a replicator. That's something.
Yeah, but powerful. Yeah, incredible. But she killed you, who was really the best ally that the humans had, even though the fact he had dementia, he was still trying to help them. So it was just
Daniel turning into a spirit and then coming back. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Because they did it once and they did it twice in order to get out of the replicated storyline. So no one I give it to you. But the last two seasons was actually pretty good. He is not Jack O'Neill, but he is a Jack O'Neill energy, if that makes sense. You know,
I mean, we're just hijacking the show. Who cares? But season one, like remember the one about politics, like the season finale of season one? And they're going that they're going against that senator, and the senator's going to pull the plug on Stargate. Say we can't afford this. And Teal'c is just like, you don't understand. We're going to get wiped out. And this guy was like, the Cold War is over. It's like, what context are you even living in? This we're talking about not nation versus nation. this is another planet that's going to come and they're going to eat our lunch.
Yeah, but they weren't coming if it wasn't for us being out there. Look, I hate that senator too. I feel you on that. But is he entirely wrong? Because think about it in our own context, right?
Well, humans are always exploring.
I know, but
we're very curious people.
Pretend for the moment that the Stargate thing is real.
Okay.
The military is out having interplanetary wars without anybody knowing that they're doing that shit. That's what they're doing, right? They're basically a terrorist organization trying to liberate, or let's say a rebel group that has just entered a conflict that we know nothing about in real terms. And we are not even with starships. We are fucking with their stuff. If that makes sense. I'm not saying we're wrong to do it.
Well, Ross started it by capturing the original in the Stargate movie. So Ross started it, and then he got blew up, and then that pissed off. I can't remember what the hell the name of his species was, the parasites.
The Guaylu, right.
I can't even think of.
I guess I'm saying, is it we are having interplanetary wars without anybody knowing? Just put that in context, right?
Oh, for sure.
Earth, they nearly destroyed Earth for that shit.
Yeah.
And it was only because of a plucky team able to get us out of that fix.
That disobeyed orders, by the way, to do so.
Yeah. I guess I'm pointing out, though, that do we really want an American team having interplanetary wars without any other country knowing about it?
That's probably not. Probably not. Poor Tej is sitting there. He's like, what the hell are you nerds talking about?
I did not know.
It's a good show, Ted. I swear to God, it's a good show.
You got to watch it.
What's your guys' favorite sci-fi TV show of all time? I mean, is it original series for you?
Believe it or not, it's Deep Space Nine.
Wow.
If you would have asked me years ago, I would have said, Next Generation. The original series has a sweet spot in my heart. But if I'm being honest, Deep Space Nine is the one that I could watch over and over because it's political. It's heavily, heavily political.
Right.
You have the Federation going to a planet that has just been ravaged by colonialization and subjugation for hundred years.
Mm-hmm.
And the Federation is piecing this back together. So whereas you have Earth that's this perfect utopia of sorts. This is the Badlands. This is when shit is not subtle.
Yeah, it's the edge of the empire.
It's the edge of the empire of sorts. If you want to call the Federation an empire,
but it is an empire.
I thought you'd pick Babylon.
It runs up against another empire, and they don't do this like overnight. Like they take three or four seasons to get it up to the point where you see, okay, this is why this war started. It's good. It's just really good.
And my favorite character is the Kai.
Kai Wen.
Yes.
She is a motherfucker.
She is a motherfucker. Because we all know the type, like this sort of like matronly, kindly seeming, totally mean piece of shit.
And then she fucks Gal Dukat in the last season, which is just like, wow, the cow gets some.
I knew you were tricky, but I've thought that because you're so interested in politics, I would have thought the Babylon 5 would have been your favorite.
Babylon 5 is good, but I didn't get into Babylon 5 until like last year or 2 years ago.
I've never checked it out. Battlestar Galactica is the most poetic, the reboot,
most
poetic sci-fi show. I mean,
agreed.
Never seen it.
The scenes and the language is just so good. Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
I remember when they started doing Human Shield and they started blowing themselves up, suicide bombers, and the reaction in the country was.
So I can answer this question because I'm pretty sure I'm the only one that voted for Trump that's here on this panel.
Probably.
I voted for Biden in 2020.
Did you?
I did, as a protest vote. Because here's why.
Well, you're looking for someone who is sharp mentally.
Well, no, it's because Trump just got a complete pass by the Republicans. Like, you know, when Trump is like, no, we can do away with due process. You know, you'll take the guns first, due process second. No, his support of the red flag laws. He outspent Obama in 4 years when Obama, which is completely insane. And Republicans are just clapping like trained seals. And so it's just like, okay, well then, what would having a Democrat in office then expose that hypocrisy? And the answer is yes, but they're too stupid to realize it. So to answer your question, I did vote for a Democrat. I despise Biden, but I voted for him.
Now, what are you thinking of for 2028?
I will write in Tucker Carlson.
He says he's not, by the way, do you guys believe his statement? He claims he's helping to put together a third party. A, do you believe him? B, what do you think that is? Who is he working with? C, when he says he's not interested in running for office, do you believe that?
Oh, that's a tough one. Let me reshift the context. If Sanders, back when he first ran in 2016, well, I think it was 2016, and he failed, if he put together a party after that, I think, because the reason why I'm recontextualizing it is Sanders was like 70 something years old. He was like an old man. Like at 48, I have time, like sometimes hard getting out of bed in the morning. Sanders is like going from state to state to state, giving speech after speech after speech. Okay, but what does it look like if he is younger? If he is, I don't know, Tucker Carlson's age, in his 40s, let's say 50 years old, and he puts his stamp of approval on a particular party, works with that party, tries to grow that party. Is it enough name recognition to pull that off? It's because third parties are hard. But if you have something that you latch it onto, does it make it more viable? I don't have an answer to that, by the way.
The problem is that our third party is, methodology tends to be from top down. Start with a presidential run,
right?
And you work your way down, and it's kind of like, yeah. I mean, I think for that, if you're doing that model, then you have to have a big name at the top of the ticket. I don't like that model. I think you start from the bottom up. That's better. Or even better, try to organize everything at the same time. Just be like, you know, we're going to run in as many offices as possible, school board and so on. But yeah, I think if you're doing something where you're running for president, yeah, you got to have the person at the top of that ticket be impressive and have widespread name recognition.
And see, with Tucker, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know what's in his mind. I mean, I know he's pissed off about Trump. There's that. He apologized for even boosting and voting for him. There's that. Obviously, he has made jokes about.
Would he be just funding? Would he be, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Publicity.
And would he be, would this be like a populist party that tries to incorporate parts of the left? Or would this just be a right wing party?
See, if honestly, if there is something that pierced the veil, it would be that. It would be a new, because in order for anybody to get elected, obviously you need a political coalition. And we assume certain political coalitions in the way the Democrats and Republicans are organized. But I think there's a different coalition. I don't, this idea that I have to get as a politician, if I'm trying to get elected, you will put me in office and I will see to your things. But I will have things that I also want to accomplish. You may agree with me or disagree with me on the things that I want to get accomplished, but as long as I'm getting your things done, you really don't give a shit. And that is that way with every president that we put in office. There's no way to police each and everything that they do. The question becomes, is there latitude to overlap regarding the things that we care about from the left and to the right? And does that make enough to make a political coalition? I think the answer is yes. I think people say, hey, I don't want these wars. Or people saying, hey, maybe people should have health care. I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene was leaving, but she was pointing out, hey, people in my district are not going to have health care as a result of the things that you're doing. Like, are there three or four items that the left and right can agree upon? And I mean, the left and the right in the sense of people who actually give a shit about things.
I agree. I think that, like, I've done, if you look at the polls, I've really done some deep dives into this. The sweet spot where you unify the populist left and the populist right are exactly those things that you mentioned. People don't like these wars. They want to focus on America and Americans first. You'll find that on the left. You'll find that on the right. People care about improved standard of living for individuals. On the left and on the right, everyone wants better jobs, better pay. They want better working conditions, of course. Lower prices. I mean, this is common sense shit. You're not going to find any arguments there. You're going to start to run into, of course, question, and they want healthcare. You start to run into issues when it's about the how. How do you get there? How do you do better healthcare? Does it have to be a free market solution, or is it possible to finance that out of the government, et cetera? That's where, if you can thread that needle, that's where you put your coalition together. I think you can easily sort of say the goals are going to be of the populist left and the populist right will be the same. Immigration is a tripwire. A lot of people on the left think that there should be a legal path. Everyone wants controlled borders. People right. on the left would prefer more immigration than people on the right. They would, I mean, I'm not one of them. I still think that if unemployment is more than 0%, you don't have any immigration. Unless, with the exception of, for example, someone goes on a vacation, they meet a girl, they fall in love, they bring her home. That's not what we're talking about. But for, just sort of, economic reasons, I don't know. I think there's got to be a compromise that can be made there where it's like, maybe limited but legal path to citizenship for some immigration. I don't know. As a lefty, I'd hate to see a coalition like that die on that hill. It doesn't seem like it's worth it to have it die there. But
I think what Tucker's doing is not so much he's trying to start a new political party, because it's really, you can't. I think what he's working on doing is working with people on the right and the left, and you see this all the time on his shows, about building a populist coalition that's able to hijack both political parties, not start a brand new third party, but to have a populist revolt with support on the left and the right using the established parties on both sides. I think that's what you're going to see. And especially, I think you're going to start seeing that not for the presidency. I think where you're going to start seeing this is going to be in congressional House races.
I don't think that's what he's after, because he's been very clear saying that, his verbiage is very specific. He's like, wants to start a new party. And it doesn't make any sense to try to hijack two parties at the same time for the same goal. It makes,
the seat's already there, right? I mean, that's why you have Mondani. How did Mondani get elected? I mean, despite the fact that he's a race hustler of the highest order, the fact that whenever he was, campaigning for mayor of New York, he's the only one there on that stage when he was asked what foreign country will you go to, he's the only one that said, I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm going to stay right here because I represent New York.
That's right.
Now, granted, his 4th of July speech was a disaster. I mean, y'all probably disagree with me on that.
Explain how. I've been hearing the right wingers complain about it. I'm still waiting to hear this republic is flawed.
No. So here's what I got from it, because I'm probably the only right winger who actually listened to the guy. Because in fairness, I would have voted for Mondani. I despise the man. I would have voted for him if I lived in New York, because he's the only one that said, I'm not going to go anywhere else. I'm actually going to address New York's problems. Then what his speech was on for Independence Day behind George Washington's desk was, what are the major issues that are addressing New York City? There's a massive budget shortfall. There's a housing crisis. Crime is out of control. Economic opportunity is imploding. And he spent the entire time beating the drum about attacking people like me, who said, maybe if we have all these problems, maybe we don't need to import all these people. Maybe we should actually address these issues. Mr. Mayor, what is your plan to address it? And instead, what he was doing.
But what did he say that you didn't like? I'm trying to understand.
So what he was saying, basically, I'm going to paraphrase here. I don't have the transcript in front of me. what he was saying is that the people who are saying that America has got problems, they're doing it in such a way where they are attacking immigration at large, which in fairness is true. But why is that? If you have problems getting a job, you don't need to keep importing more people to compete for the jobs that are available. You don't need to import more people to drive wages down. If you have a housing crunch, you don't import more people to increase competition for housing. And whenever you point those things out, at least this is the takeaway that I took from his speech, was that instead of addressing those issues, his argument was basically shut up, racist, because you're attacking people who are coming here because they're different from you. Never mind the fact that you are an immigrant. You're a Muslim immigrant from Africa who is of Indian descent, sitting behind George Washington's desk, lecturing me about how intolerant people are. Meanwhile, the homeless crisis is very real. Crime is very real. There are no jobs. And instead of addressing those issues, he has kept playing the race card over and over and over and over, playing it. You know, if you don't like how things are going, then you just don't want to accept the fact that America has problems and we need immigration to fix it. Immigration is not fixing it.
But have you seen his wife?
Said that immigration is necessary to fix our problems. I'm going to give you one quote, right? Like, we see masked agents terrorizing our streets, eating food cooked by our undocumented neighbors before spiriting mm-hmm. them away in unmarked vans.
True.
That's true. And it's poetic and it's evil. These ICE goons are scum. And, you know, I don't know. Politics of New York City is, it's an immigrant city. I mean, it's the immigrant city. He's an immigrant. I mean, of course he's partial to defending immigrants, but he didn't say in the speech, we need more immigration. He's more like saying, quit picking on immigrants.
Well, if you are going to nullify immigration enforcement, by definition, you're saying that you want more immigration.
There's a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things.
I agree.
We all know that the way ICE is doing it is the wrong way.
I agree. But can I at least get a nod to the point that I'm making? Is like, instead of addressing any of the issues that are actually plaguing the city, all he does is just kept playing the shut up whitey race card.
It's not a state of the city speech. And yes, he gives that speech every year. By tradition, this wasn't that. It was a 4th of July speech. It's a city mayor addressing the state of the nation at its 250th anniversary. And he's reminding Americans that we have a lot of immigrants who have contributed a lot and they shouldn't be, demonized or picked on or brutalized by ICE. I mean, that's not exactly the same thing as, I mean, look, this is, I'm not, this is definitely a mayor who's trying to deliver. He delivered a rent freeze for rent stabilized apartments. Again, that was, he kind of had to, he had to twist some arms to get that done. At least one dude resigned from the rent stabilization board because he was pissed off at the way that this was handled from behind the scenes in City Hall. I mean, the point is he's trying to deliver on his campaign promises. He's, you know, which is more than Joe Biden could say.
Maybe, but I mean, again, I'm just giving you my perspective as I listen to it. So what are your plans, Mr. Mayor, to address these issues? And to your point, sure, it's not a state of the city speech. Fine, whatever. To me, what he was doing, and again, maybe I'm looking at this through a partisan lens, right?
Honestly, by the way that it was framed by right-wing media, where they teed it up to say,
I didn't watch right-wing media. I listened to the guy.
Social media was like, all the right-wingers were saying he trashed America and all this. It's like, not really.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk, you and I, the three of us talk all day long, every day about like how flawed this country is.
Also, have you seen his wife?
No, I didn't vote for her. I don't care about his wife.
God
is
good.
She is
good. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and the right wingers were mad because she was at some Islamic study program overseas.
Really?
She went to an Islamic retreat or something.
And they flipped out. That's funny.
Like,
that's funny.
But they didn't want her around anyway, right? She couldn't win. Although, frankly, it was about, if I were her, I would not have done that. Yeah. I don't think she cares.
Right. I would not let him out my ass.
Right. I think she what the fuck she wants.
I know nothing about her. I didn't know the guy was married.
She's gorgeous.
Kind of amazing. I mean, he became a U.S. citizen only 8 years ago, and now he's the mayor of the city of New York. Honestly, mm-hmm. He didn't win that election. The corporatists lost it. This was a vote based on rage. Most New Yorkers who voted for him were like me. They saw that the establishment hated him and was afraid of him, and they decided they sent an anger vote. It was a protest vote.
Has he sold out, in your opinion?
Oh, good question.
He will.
Now, has he? It's a yes or no question.
Too early to tell. He just got in. He started January 1st.
Looking for something else where the center falls, and they're willing to take a chance on, all right, the Muslim guy with the hot wife who's, you know, like, we'll take the chance on that guy because we don't like the other people. If he succeeds to any measure, that's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess the way that I think about it, Ted, and maybe I give people too much credit. I'll use this as an analogy, right? So here on Rumble, we've got, with the new metrics, we got to have the new chat metrics. Well, we don't have enough chatters, to hit all the metrics of the different shows that we're involved with. I would like to reference that with immigration. If you have too many jobs, but not enough people, then by all means, open the doors, people come in, do the work, welcome, it's no problem at all. But if you have a glut, like say if everyone that chatted got into the Rumble Creator Program, and then everyone just started getting a slice of that pie, at that point, you've diluted it to the point where you're hurting everyone as a whole. I know it's a dumb analogy, but I think that's how you're able to kind of just do this with immigration. You can have too much of a good thing. That's just like with medicine. If you have too much medicine, it becomes a poison. Immigration is the same way. And it would be really nice if people could at least acknowledge that fact. We're not going to. But I wish as a society, as a conversation, we'd be able to have at least using a reasoned thought behind it from our political leaders, or even just as people talking in the chat. Too much of a good thing becomes a bad thing.
But I guess my thing is, you have the entire Republican Party. Donald Trump spent his entire platform talking about immigration. Like, why do you need each and every person or candidate to talk about immigration? And I know you're not asking for each and every candidate. You're asking to acknowledge it. And I guess I'm saying Donald Trump's entire platform, many times mean-spirited, was about immigration. It's not like it's not talked about. I think the issue is whether it's talked about and it's meant in the context of the economy as opposed to talking about it in the sense of getting elected. I don't know. I mean, because I don't think Mamdani is in a political party that is not going to be hawkish on immigration. It's just not his political platform. I guess it'll be weird for him to go on a Donald Trump tear on immigration at the point where he's given a speech.
You can't. It's New York fucking city. You can't be hawkish on immigration. I mean, it's like being hawkish against the Yankees or the Mets. I mean, it's like, or hot dogs and bagels. I mean, it's New York fucking city. Rudy Giuliani, when he was the governor, when he was the mayor of New York City between 1993 and 2001, routinely did PSAs saying, this is a sanctuary city. Feel free to call 911 if you're an illegal immigrant. The police will not report you. We do not cooperate with, at the time, the INS.
Rudy Giuliani.
Giuliani, like, he was like, everyone is welcome here. That's just normal politics. Bloomberg did the same thing. I mean, it's just like, you can't. Mayor Robbie West of New York City would have to say things like that. You can't be the mayor. It's like being you can't be the mayor of Kalispell and be like anti-gun. You know, it's just not possible.
If I was the mayor of New York City, so correct me if I'm wrong, but if whenever you swear in your oath of office, you swear to support and defend and uphold the Constitution, correct?
Just
like a police officer does.
About the mayor of the city of New York.
The answer is yes. Anytime that you're sworn into a public service, into a public office, you swear an oath to the Constitution. The Constitution plainly says that the executive enforces the laws passed by the legislature. Immigration law was passed by a Congress, signed by a president. It is the law of the land. If I choose to ignore that law, I am violating the oath that I took to that Constitution.
Although New York City Council passed and has repeatedly reaffirmed sanctuary city status, and they're saying, "Look, you feds can do anything you want. You guys can come and enforce your federal law, but our cops are not going to turn over anyone, our residents, over to you."
Then fine, get out of the way. Let them do their job.
They do. It's not like they shoot the ICE guys. It's like they just don't. If ICE calls and says, "Hey, got any illegals we can grab?" They're like, they're not supposed to take that call. That's all they do. They just don't cooperate.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is going to be one of the major problems with the coalition between the left and the right.
Yeah, it is.
Because if you have mass immigration, you have depressed wages. That's a statement of fact. And so lefties like y'all need to decide what's more important.
You know America, where I stand on this. If the unemployment rate...
You're talking about both sides of your mouth, Ted, in all fairness. And like you're saying, we got to have the immigration. If you're already here, you get to stay. You get a blank check. Fuck the law. That's what you just said.
That's what I said.
That's what you said.
It's not. I never said we didn't even have that conversation. Okay. We didn't even talk about that.
Yes or no, Ted Rawl. If ICE went into New York City with a 10,000-man task force to round up every single illegal immigrant in the city and deported them, would you be for or against? Yes or no?
Against that shit. Fuck.
There you go.
If it's ICE as constituted currently, I'm against it.
Okay, then. There you go.
Those people are fucking maniacs.
It's a fascist goon squad. I mean,
then you use the police department, round these people up, and hand them over. Listen, either.
No, I'll tell you where I stand. I know you won't like it, but here's where I stand. And by the way, this is what coalition building is hashing these things out, right?
Of course.
So my personal opinion, it's just Ted Rawls' opinion, is unemployment rate 0% or lower. Otherwise, we don't even talk about new immigration. If you came in legally, mm-hmm. and like let's say you showed up at the border, Eagle Pass, Texas, under Biden, you did everything that they told you to do. You came in protected status, Haitian or Syrian. You followed all the rules. You didn't break any laws. No serious laws. I don't mean like parking tickets or speeding tickets. Like you stay. We let you in fair and square. Nothing new from now on, nothing new until the unemployment rate is 0.0% or less. But until we have a labor shortage, nothing new. That's where I stand.
Okay,
and part of it is because I also think there's a better use of government resources than hiring these fascist goon squad to be running around looking for fucking Anne Frank behind the wall. I mean, there's better uses of taxpayer money helping poor people, unemployed people, for example.
So, Ronald Reagan, when he did his amnesty back when I was a kid, he made the Ted Rawl argument. The problem is that he broke that agreement. So did Congress.
Yes, I know.
And so now here we are 40 years later. And your solution is, I lied to you before, but stress this time it's losing the football.
My name is not Ronald Reagan. That's my solution. I'm not responsible for Ronald Reagan lying to you. It's like, I'm not responsible. Ronald Reagan also said that ketchup was a vegetable. He said lots of things that were not true. And like, it's like, and there's none of those are my responsibility. He told us that, if you just say no to drugs, that would work. That's true.
No, I get it.
He claimed he wasn't sucking Iran's cock. That's not true. He claimed he wasn't giving money to the Contras. That's not true. So he said lots of things that weren't true. So I don't care about Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan, who I hated and think was one of our worst presidents. But all I'm saying is going forward, okay, this is how I would do it.
And what guarantee would we have?
You have no fucking guarantee. The person who comes after me can be a big dick. The guarantee is that the American people are supposed to hold that person's feet to the
Ted, fire. The guarantee is the law. The problem, okay,
so. The law is not a guarantee of anything.
Okay, so let's just put it this way. So, for example, I don't like to pay taxes. Do y'all like to pay taxes?
Nobody likes to pay taxes.
Okay, right. So then if the government's going to ignore immigration law, why then should I pay taxes?
If I know, the president ignores laws himself.
Of course he does.
I mean, like, even as the way he's been monetizing the presidency, that shit is illegal. The attack on Iran is illegal. No, I mean, like, that shit is illegal.
No, I get that. But we're talking about coalition building right here, to the left and the right.
The law is by itself, you know, it's nice, but it's not a guarantee of anything. It's politics. It's political pressure from the people that, mm-hmm. like, keeps politicians honest. I put that in scare quotes. But I mean, like I said, when we first started talking about this, I would hate to think that this is where our coalition would fall apart. I don't think from a leftist point of view that it's worth it to have the coalition fall apart over this.
I agree.
Maybe it's possible to just have a coalition that doesn't deal with immigration and just makes it like...
But the right
demographics is demographics is right destiny, Ted.
Never accept it.
You cannot... You cannot have your socialist utopia with open borders.
But he's not arguing for open borders.
We have de facto saying
the border is closed.
I get that. But no,
there's no possible guarantee to you. Like, meaning there's nothing.
So that's the problem.
You because want the future to be guaranteed. The future is never guaranteed.
Never guaranteed.
It
wouldn't be a representative government if it was.
So this would be one of the problems because, for example, if you're going to do this, and if you're going to have a real coalition that's going to support the left and the right, if you want to have universal health care, listen, I'm right there with you. I agree. We have privatized profits and socialized losses. Mm-hmm. Right there with you. Yeah. When it comes to the illegal wars of aggression, right there with you. When it comes to our education system, it's a steaming pile of crap. It needs to be completely redone. Again, I'm your guy. I'm right here on the right. I'm with you. But where the left needs to reach across the aisle and give me just one thing, I'm not talking about gun control. I'm not talking about abortion. What I am talking about is protecting wages. And the only way that you can do that is that you must make work valuable. You cannot do that with immigration diluting the labor pool, driving wages down. That is what the left needs to give to me as a guarantee, to the point where I would put the army on the border and shoot any fucker trying to come across the border.
Ted gave you that.
That's what I'm saying. That's the thing that's blowing
what do you want?
My mind here.
I want mass deportations. If you are here illegally, you have to go home. You have to go home.
I have no problem with saying that anyone who is here illegally and committed a serious crime, out. But if you came here legally, like, you know, like sort of like.
You did nothing wrong.
Under some dumb fucking rule that we all wish hadn't existed. But like, you know, it's like you can't penalize people for doing what they're told.
Who told them to come here illegally?
Joe Biden and Tyson Chicken.
Okay, so did. Okay, so when did Joe Biden get the power to write law?
Look, he's the president. It's like he's the president. If you're from whatever, choose your country, and like you know, you're like you don't know the American system. You don't follow the Constitution. You don't need to. You're not from here, and you hear like, hey, the border's open. Show up in Texas. Download this app. Make your appointment, and you'll get right in. Who are you not to do that?
Yeah, that's not their fault.
I agree. It's the fault of our government. And right now, Republicans and Democrats both are joined together. And we have some chats here. Like, Teg, he wants the question he has: why does immigration depress wages, Robbie? Because employers hire illegals, then they don't pay them fairly. Start arresting those employers and see what happens. I agree with you.
I agree with that.
If you hire an illegal. Yeah, I mean, really, this is another form of indentured servitude, but it's wrapped in the veneer of tolerance.
But here's the thing, Robbie. I mean, what is a coalition? A coalition says, listen, let's the two of us get together and fight and fight the people who are in power now. And we agree that if we get that if we win, then things will be as follows. That's all. There's no promising anything about, like, you know, we're going to make up for all the sins of the past or whatever. It's like, we're, you know, it's kind of like, I can't, you know, I mean, you can't ask me to do penance for Ronald Reagan. It's like, it's like, we just basically, you, we come in here and we go forward and we say, okay, no more, you know, here's part of the problem is, like, if you, I would say, like, if you want the left in, you can't have mass deportation. The left will not tolerate mass deportations of people who committed no crime.
What about chain migration?
Your coalition will fall apart. So if you want the, it, as it is, it would be a tough sell for the left to even agree no immigration as long as the unemployment rate is unless until as long, until there's no until there's a labor shortage, no immigration. That's a rough sell for the left, but the left, you know, you could get that probably, you know. But you, you're not going to get more than that. It's impossible.
Why? Do they not have jobs? Do they not work?
Because part of being on the left, in the same reason that it's impossible to ask people on the right to give up guns, because it's important to the left, because it's like the idea of being humane to people who did who followed the rules is really, that's a fundamental foundation of being a leftist, is that you care about ordinary, poor, downtrodden people who are just trying to survive and who are doing nothing wrong. It's just like, you're not, if you don't try to protect those people, you're not a leftist, you know?
Does immigration hurt poor blacks or poor whites more?
Well, it hurts poor people, period.
Exactly. And that's the trick question. Immigration is a club that's used to keep on beating down the. So if to be a good American liberal means that you have to crap all over poor Americans, I don't want to be a liberal.
Look, you're asking for two different things. If you want, like, no immigration going forward, that's one thing. If you want to ask for deportations also, you're asking for another thing. I'm just saying those are two different things.
If I don't pay my taxes, do I go to jail?
Depends on if your last name is Trump.
my last name is West. Okay, I don't have a political lobby. If I don't pay my taxes, what happens to me? Do I go to jail? Yes or no?
Well, I'm trying to make the point about like it depends on who you are. It depends on who you are. I mean, obviously the laws are
I'm obviously not Trump.
Well, depending on the person who's breaking
it. This is not analogous because like
it
this,
is.
You're, it's not because this would be like
the if my last name is Rodriguez and I'm here illegally. Then I should get deported just like my last name is West, and I get sent to jail for not paying my taxes.
Let's just say
violating federal law
here illegally. He got in under the previous president, like whatever thing that president allowed.
He's not for 4 years. Don't worry about me. For 4 years, you were told by the president, "Don't worry about your taxes. It's cool." Mm-hmm. And now, like President West wants to come in and be like, "Oh yeah, well actually, we do want those taxes."
Yeah,
it's like
you broke the law. I don't give a shit what the last president said. Yeah.
If people ask if I'm related to Kanye. No, I am not related to Kanye. Kanye would not have me.
You're like the spitting image. It's like I look at you, I see him.
It's the tan.
Yay. Hey, yay. How's it going?
But we've got some chats. I done hijacked this all the hell. Sorry, y'all.
Well, no, I mean, I think the coalition argument is super interesting, especially because I'm.
If we're going to save the country, it's an argument we've got to have. Never an argument, it's a conversation.
There's nothing wrong with an argument. It's when an argument devolves into a fight that you have a problem. You know, name calling and bullshit. No, an argument is like what politics is. It's like, it's good. I mean, and look, honestly, there's certain things that people on the left have to understand. If you want to do a coalition with the populists, right? There's certain things that people on the right just can't give up. They have to have it. And, you know, and people on the left have to be willing to give them those things. And it goes both ways. I mean, there's certain things you just have to, people on the right have to be able to give up. That's the nature of compromise.
Yeah. What would the left give up?
Like, I think the left would probably go gun rights. We'd let that go completely. No gun control. Really? I think so. Don't you think? The left, not liberals. The left.
Believe it or not, I would have thought that part of the immigration thing would have been something we would have gave up. And I guess on some level it is, but it is. The difference is going to be mass deportations versus not. That's probably right at that point.
If we close our borders for 100 years, we could have maybe done
deportations if Trump hadn't like fucked it up and been such an asshole. And
tainted the will, kind of like an Obama era deportation thing. I think the left would have allowed. I mean, they allowed Obama to do it. Why wouldn't they?
He did it from the border. That's different.
Yeah, true.
It's different. It's very different to do it from the border. People applied. You say, no, get the fuck out. As opposed to you let them in. They get married. They have kids. They're working. They're in school. Then you like arrest them when they're dropping their kid off at school. That's just not the same thing.
Yeah, that's outrageous. Gun rights, maybe.
Abortion.
I think they would make compromise on immigration, if not give it up.
Yeah. Abortion. Maybe
abortion. No, I don't know about abortion.
Abortion's tough.
I don't know about abortion.
I bet the left could certainly do go to like a, you know, nothing beyond three first trimester kind of thing.
It depends. I mean, like some of these states are like 20 days and you should know if you have a baby or not.
That's impossible.
Yeah, I think it's like, but that's the entire point of making laws like that. So the person can't get it at that point. It depends on the trimester, I suppose. Like, obviously, I don't want somebody aborting a six-year-old.
Yeah, third trimester is like, no. Unless it's to save your life, no.
Right. Yeah, there's elements of that could be negotiated, I suppose. I don't know.
But when it comes to abortion, personally, I'd rather abortion be banned and an abortionist be put on trial for murder.
Oh, and that's just the right one.
But let's just assume I'm not going to get that. I think the compromise I'd be willing to make would let the states... No, we have 50 different states. Let each state have abortion laws that its people vote for. Yeah.
So they don't have a stand on. That's currently where things are. So
I would. Yeah, like, I mean, let the states decide. You don't need a federal all size fit all. No, when it comes to
murder your baby down on abortion.
Say it again, Ted.
Maybe the left just stands down on abortion and lets it be a state's thing. But I find that hard to believe.
Well, yeah, that'd be the intelligent thing to do. And I would do the same with gun rights. If you'll be able to buy a machine gun in Montana and be able to abort your 8th month pregnancy in Washington State, then then do that.
8th month pregnancy. That should be funny, but that's funny as all hell.
Okay. Yeah.
But let's get to some of the questions, though.
All right.
Blake, thank you for the $5. Ted, can we please get a good look at those big old hanging flapjack man boobies? I can't wait, big boy.
I've already said this is a $5,000 request. $5,000 request. I will.
Yeah, and then
Monty's going to be more. That's a private viewing.
And then Frank Fried, 7254 with $5 over on YouTube. The Tyler Robinson preliminary hearing is today. Any thoughts? Do you think the fix is in or can he get a fair trial?
Fair trial in the UK?
Well, in Utah, right?
Yeah, in Utah. He's the one who's accused of shooting Charlie Kirk. He didn't do it. He didn't actually shoot Charlie Kirk.
For some reason, I thought this was okay. I thought this was a different.
You're thinking Tommy Robinson.
I'm thinking Tommy Robinson. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Can he get a fair trial? I mean, have they even allowed him to talk?
Well, his lawyer probably hasn't allowed
him. Do they have anything with him talking to the press or anything like that in the time that he's been
locked up? I'm sure his lawyer told him to zip it.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, they've already basically convicted the guy. I mean, we'll see what happens in court, but they're acting as if he is a clear person who did it when, I got to be honest, I've had questions about that.
Me too.
If I was on that jury, I would vote to acquit. I don't think he did it.
Let me put it this way. I don't think it's possible for him to get a fair trial.
Yeah.
I was going to say partly fair, but there's no such thing as a partly fair trial. It's either all fair or it's not fair at all.
Right. Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, wasn't it Joe Rogan that pointed out that the shot itself would have taken his whole head off? Or you pointed that out, Robbie.
I pointed that out.
That it would have taken his whole head off.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
so it couldn't have just like nicked him and then.
It would have vaporized the flesh I mean, it's a big, heavy bullet.
But a big, heavy bullet can anything can graze you, right? I mean, like a Polaris missile could graze you.
But you got to remember, though, they said the bullet was lodged in his neck and they had the bones like Superman that fragmented the bullet and saved the lives of people around him. So it wasn't a graze. They said the bullet that went into his neck. And as someone who has grew up around guns, I know about this kind of stuff. A 30-06 going through the human neck, it would have blew the back of his neck out. That was not, first of all, that was an exit wound that we saw at the front. That's not how that looks. And it damn sure was not from a 30-06. You can take that to the bank. It was not a 30-06.
Well, there's definitely major questions there, right? So,
right. That's going to be hashed out in court, ideally.
Mm-hmm. Well, we saw
that. What I'm worried about is that he will not have competent representation.
Well, we still have a death certificate. We have no autopsy report. If the government wants to know, if they want these conspiracy theories to go to bed, all you got to do is release the information. Why aren't they doing it? It's because they're hiding something.
Well, I like I said, I would feel better about all this if he had a class A attorney. If he had Ron Kuby, I'd be like, okay, he'll be all right.
Yeah.
And John Schwab over on YouTube, thank you for the $1 donation. And then St. Paul Masano 8589 with the $20. Why don't we hear about Freemasons more in history class? Washington and many others are Masons. For example, most Texas history figures, Sam Houston, Davy Crockett, Jim Bowie, Santa Anna, Stephen F. Austin, they're all Freemasons. That's true.
Yeah, I think it's Freemasonry traditionally in the 19th century was always associated, basically the idea of Freemasonry or exposing it was always associated with anti-Semitism. So therefore, like even mentioning it got tainted with the idea that you were anti-Semite. So after World War II, that was just basically became like off limits in like liberal discourse, I think.
And Johnny Schwab, 7810, Robbie should stick to video games and leave politics to the big boys. Fair enough. I appreciate your opinion. I will do my best to shut up and not have an opinion. And then RJ Ramrod, if Robbie Jr. believes that anyone who hires immigrant labor should go to prison, why is this literally never mentioned unless it's something he's pressed on? I think I've been pretty consistent on this. If you hire an illegal immigrant, you should be held accountable for violating labor law. Just like if I decide to go build a machine gun in my living room, I would be held accountable by federal gun laws because I'm violating. It's illegal to have a machine gun. If I don't pay my taxes, I'm a violation of federal and state tax laws. If I hire an illegal immigrant, I'm violating immigration law. Listen, either the laws matter or they don't. And if you start picking and choosing, that's how you start getting this tiered justice system that we have, because justice at that point is no longer blind. If it applies for some but not for others, especially somebody who just got here 5 minutes ago, you don't have a legal system. You don't have a justice system. You have a legal system. And that's the last thing that anyone should ever want. That's the argument that I'm making.
Mm-hmm.
Either the law applies to everybody or it applies to nobody.
There are hundreds of thousands of laws on the books, Robbie. So by definition, they have to pick and choose which ones they enforce the most, right?
But we shouldn't have that many laws. I mean, a free society, you have as few laws as possible.
It's also the shoulds.
A lot of shoulds, yeah. I mean, I agree with them all, but, you know, I mean.
I mean, the laws honestly should have a sundown provision. And after a certain amount of time, they're just
like, oh, we're tired of charging people with murder.
It's like, like this rape thing.
By 2029, it'll be
fine. Well, why not? I mean, you know, people on the left, y'all have no problem with people murdering their babies. So why not? Why not let it come up for a vote? I mean, seriously, what's the difference between offering your kid with 8 months in the womb and offering your kid when it's 4 years old? Couldn't that be like a fifth trimester abortion?
You don't think there's a difference between an abortion versus murdering a four-year-old?
Murder is murder. I'm very consistent on this.
I know you think that. But
no, I don't think that. I know that because I'm literally killing a human being.
It's not killing a human being.
By
I don't think that. And I don't even want to believe that. But it's not. Put it this way. Between erring on the side of the mom and erring on the side of something that doesn't exist, I choose the mom. 1,000%. I have zero issues saying so.
Unborn babies don't exist?
I think the
unborn baby. No, they do not. They do not exist.
See, that is insane to me.
That it couldn't be. Your position on this is insane to me. The idea that you don't give a shit about the mom, but you always care about this amorphous thing that doesn't breathe air. No, there's a difference between something that is alive and something that is not. And the fact that you don't know the difference between a four-year-old versus an unborn thing is weird to me. I'm just telling you, that's my position. My position hasn't deviated.
As someone who's raised kids, I can 100% guarantee you I know the difference between a baby and a four-year-old.
You just said you did?
They're both living human beings. And so the only thing that's going to be different is, you know, is how mentally developed it is. So if you're going to open up that can of worms, say, okay, I'm going to reject the fact that this retard
already know how you kill
can be euthanized because of cognition, you're cheapening life. Mousy Tongue would applaud you. That's monstrous to me.
Pretty clear on my take. If you can cast it any way you want. As I told you, my bias is towards the living being, not the unborn thing.
Jamal, question. So you and I, if a pregnant woman, many times a pregnant woman is injured and then they're like, oh, we have to deliver early. And they go right in and they cut the baby out, right? And right, the baby lives, right? I mean, let's say 7 months, 6 months, 4 months sometimes, earlier in some cases. I mean, so clearly it was alive. I mean, it like the only difference is it was just inside as opposed to outside, and then it's cut out and then it goes on to live a full life.
Just to be clear, I'm not arguing that people should have abortions at 9 months. That's not my argument. And it's not my argument that they should have abortions at 7 months.
Right.
But there is a period, and obviously people can debate upon when that point is, where it is viable versus when it's not. If you want to make the argument that abortions beyond the point of viability should be,
viability was like that standard came up in the Supreme Court Roe v. Wade like original decision making. They were having a really hard time coming up with a compromise within a political compromise within the court. Right. Like, where do we draw that line? I know you know all this, and then they came up with, okay, we're going to go with fetal viability. But I mean, it's so, what does viability have to do with anything? I mean, you know, I know people, you know, I have a 22-year-old. I'm not sure he's always viable.
What?
Viable. Well, live on his own, you know?
Well, the thing is, I'm going to play the JT card. So as science, improves, unborn babies become more and more viable at younger and younger age. True. What about if the technology gets to where that the unborn baby that is can be kept alive using machines at 20 weeks? At that point, would you be okay with 20 week abortions?
What if you can grow them in a lab altogether? Which, don't even need to.
We're there now.
That's in a lab, or zygotes in a lab, or what about at conception, you can effectively fertilize it.
But if your standard is viability, then the problem is as science improves, that viability window gets larger and larger and larger. So if that's your standard, but when it's okay to murder a baby,
we can that's have not much of a standard. Viability gets to that point.
That's it's there now.
No, it's not. If it is, then that wouldn't be the case, right? I guess I'm pointing out to you that if you want to make that argument into the future, you can make that argument in the future. That's not where we are. That's not where we are.
Yeah.
From my point of view, the mom's life matters more than the unborn, if you want to call it a child.
Well, what else is it? Do human women get pregnant with dogs? Do they give birth to gerbils? Or do they give birth to human beings?
I have no idea what sorts of experiments were being held in Nazi Germany. What I'm pointing out to you is that my position hasn't deviated, changed, or modified at all based on your point of view.
Guys, just more comments. We're already 20 minutes over, and then we'll wrap it up. Tech Derb, why does it depress wages, Robbie? Because employers hire illegals and then don't pay them fairly. Start arresting those employers and see what happens.
Yeah, you said that one.
We're all in full agreement on that point. Andre 420, thanks for the $2.79 Canadian. Did any of you guys go to the Trump fair? LOL. No, I did not.
No.
I would rather talk with my two lefty friends than go to a Trump pep rally.
I don't like crowds anyway. I mean, even if it was like, I don't know if I would have gone to the 1964 World's Fair in New York. It's like, probably, but you know, it's like, I don't like crowds. I just don't. So it's not even a political thing for me, but it also sounded kind of like a bummer. I don't know. All right. Anything else we need to get to, guys, before we call it a show?
Fane 30M, I butchered this name, devil advocate here. Is it good to sterilize a portion of the population because their babies have not even been conceived yet? See the road.
What? I don't understand that one.
I guess what the question is like, should we start sterilizing problematic portions of the population? Groups or something.
Nothing bad could happen as a result of that.
Yeah. Euthanasia, mass euthanasia. That's great.
So let me ask you this question, then we'll go away. How is euthanasia different from abortion?
You mean how's it different from a person to make a choice to die versus killing a kid?
Well, I mean, let's just say, for example, if a parent of mine had Alzheimer's.
You gotta be honest, man. You can ask this question 1,000 different ways. My answer is not going to change. I care more about the mom than a baby that doesn't exist. I just do. As a flat fact, I do. That is an unmovable position for me. So it doesn't matter how you frame it. It doesn't matter how you cast it. It's always going to be the exact same thing that you're going to get from me on this. This is like asking me about religion. You're always going to get the same thing from me on this. I'm sorry you feel the way that you feel. I think your position on it is outrageous that you don't give a shit about the mom. And I think you think my position is outrageous because I don't give a shit about the unborn child.
Why do you think I'll give a crap about the mom?
Well, you obviously hear more about the child, the unborn child, than the mom, which is the entire abortion debate.
I mean, right? If you do care about the mom, you never mention her.
Never at all. And usually Republicans in some of these states like Virginia, they would be like, mm-hmm. Well, you have to look at the child and then before you abort it, and you got to pay for the procedure that is unnecessary. I mean, they're doing shit like that. So this is the lens that I see you in when thinking about this stuff. My position on this is not going to change.
I can get that. I'll go away with this. I do care about the mom. And I think that's probably a conversation that we should have one day. No, I don't.
No, you don't. I've never heard you mention the mom ever once. We had an entire, how many hours of a conversation on abortion, and not once did you ever mention the mom. Most right wingers don't give a shit about the mom. They don't bring it up at all. We want to force you to have a baby that you don't want. And then you have to pay for this and deal with the consequences for the rest of that mom's life.
I have heard some enlightened right wingers say like, oh, we should have a system where we provide for the mom so that it becomes like viable. But that's like 1% of them talk about that once in a blue moon. And they never fucking make a move on it. No one ever proposes a law. No one ever pushes for it. There's no political capital. It's just bullshit. You know?
No, listen, I can see that. And that's a miss on my part because I never have talked about them all.
So next time we do this, God help us all. May it not be anytime soon. We'll get into the mom issue. Thanks very much for the $5 from Sam Palmisano. Thanks y'all for being so mature in y'all's disagreements. It's rare to see in this political climate.
I'm not going to say anything bad about Robbie. I like Robbie. Yeah.
I like JT too. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, though, I mean.
Get a room, you two.
Well, if you're going to have coalition building, but these are going to be some of the issues that you got to hash out.
You know, these are conversations. No bullshit.
Sure. Yeah, and they're real.
From the left and the right. Oh, man. Like these are the pet ponies, right?
Yeah, and there's some things you can kick down the road and other things you can't. So it's like.
But see, I think this is one of those things that gets punted. It's like, obviously, there are going to be some fights, even within the context of the coalition. And it's like, okay, we get in power first, and some of these things we just have to fight out.
And we can fight later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, for sure. And we'll go ahead and we'll pull the plug here. No, it doesn't turn to a 2-hour show.
Okay, everyone, thanks so much for joining us. You've been watching the Q&A show of Deprogram with Ted Rollins and Jamarl Thomas. We will be back with another Q&A show Wednesday at 12 noon. If you miss this one, I forbid any abortion discussion on Wednesday. Maybe we can take some calls at that time. We'll be back tomorrow with regular Deprogram, Tuesday, July 7th, 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Talk to you later.
Yeah.